word that God has given me to share to you guys tonight. Is that all right? Take a few minutes and share this word. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 10. 1 Samuel, chapter number 10, we're going to start reading at verse number 17. If you got your Bible, turn there. If not, hopefully we can get it back on the screen behind me. But 1 Samuel, chapter number 10, we're going to start reading in verse number 17. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, going to start reading at verse number 17. And if you got your Bible, we'll give you a minute to turn there. Most people's got their phones or got the Bible on their phones or iPads or iPhones or something or another. So I give you a minute to turn there. Amen. First Samuel chapter 10, verse number 17. Amen. Are we going to be able to get it behind me? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jacob. All right. First Samuel chapter 10. It's what the Bible says. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah and said unto the children of Israel, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come hither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. He hath hid himself among the stuff. To us that don't sound too plain, does it? He's hid himself among some stuff. Well, thank you, God. I appreciate that. And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel unto all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And the people shouted and said, God save the king. And Samuel said to the people the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men, those hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today, God. I thank you for all of these young people, God, that have assembled themselves together today, God, for this special youth service, God. I pray that you would just speak a word in season to all those that are listening today, God, that you would just mightily bless your people, God. Anoint the ears of your people to hear, to not be hearers only, but doers of your word, God. I pray let us walk in your love, grace, and mercy in the demonstration of your power and anointing. Hide me behind the cross, that everything that is said and done today in this place will be under the honor and glory of your sweet, precious, and holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I want to talk about this subject, chameleon and camouflaged Christians. Chameleon and camouflaged Christians. Before I get into this, I want you to understand something. Most of us in here in this room right now, we've got camo on, celebrating Duck Dynasty, which is like pretty much the greatest show on television right now. You know what I'm saying? That's my opinion. Yeah, I mean, if that's not your opinion, well, you know what? You just, my opinion beats your opinion up. So, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's a show we love and things like that. But, you know, we can sit in here in camo, but really, there's no one hid in here right now. We're here in a church building. There's no one hid and anywhere in this place. Now, if you was out in the woods in some trees, if we was playing hide and go seek and it was night or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Might be a whole different ball game. Or if we was even just hunting or something like that, it'd be a totally different matter. But see, we got a lot of chameleon and camouflage Christians, and that's what I want to talk about here tonight. But I'm going to start in 1 Samuel 8. The Bible teaches us that Israel was different than any other nation of people. They were, while the other nations was run by kings and queens, which we call monarchies, the children of Israel was run by a theocracy, meaning that God ruled the nation. God led the nation. Whatever God said, it went. No ands, ifs, or buts about it. We were just led by the Spirit of God. And so that's what you have here. The children of Israel saw all these nations surrounding them. And they said, listen, Samuel, your children, they've turned their back on God, and they're supposed to be judges, they're supposed to be ruling the land, they're supposed to be doing what you taught them to do, but yet here we are in a mess. We don't need these judges anymore. We don't need God being our king anymore. We need a man as a king, just like the other nations surrounding us. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 12, it indicates a very interesting verse, and let me read it to you. Ezekiel 11 and 12 says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord, for you've not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you." And see, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can try to blend in with everything that surrounds us. And even though we're not hidden here, I believe spiritually, we can have like spiritual camo on, where we're trying to hide everywhere we go because we're ashamed of Jesus or because we're ashamed of Christianity. And that's what we got right here. They said, listen, we're by ourselves. We're a theocracy. It's just you and God, but let's be like the other nations. Let's be like everyone that surrounds us. And that's where they got into trouble. And Samuel was brokenhearted. He went to God to pray. He said, "Lord, what's going on here?" You know, he said, they've turned their back on me. He said, "Listen, they've not rejected you, but they've rejected me." And that's what God told Samuel. They've rejected me and my word to be like everybody else. So first of all, I want to talk about chameleon Christians, what they do. They blend in with their surroundings. Let me give you some facts about chameleons, because all these facts are pretty interesting. Most chameleons change from brown to green and back in as little as 20 seconds. So they can change quick into whatever environment they're surrounded by. And that's what people do. See, in here we got like a chameleon Christians because, hey, we can throw our hands up, we can worship God and that kind of thing. But then when we're on a ball court or we're doing our thing at school or at work or something like that, then it's just like, you know, I'm going to blend in with them. I'm not going to share God. I want to participate in all their dirty jokes. I'm going to, you know, do all this different stuff. Do what everybody else thinks is cool, thinks is hip, thinks is all right. And I'm just going to do that kind of thing. And I'm going to put God on a back burner till the next Wednesday youth service or the next Sunday morning service or something like that. But that's how we become chameleon Christians, because we try to blend in with any kind of thing that surrounds us. Number two, studies show that light, temperature, and mood is what causes chameleons to change color. So it's just like the atmosphere causes them to change their mood, their character, their attitude. Everything that surrounds them dictates that. And that's what a lot of times what we have in the churches, where we have things that kind of control our attitude. You know, you can go one day here and you'll be happy, but tomorrow about this time, you might be madder than a nest of hornets because someone's done something to your vehicle, someone's done something to your locker, someone has stole your clothes, you know, something of that nature. Then all of a sudden you're in a frenzy because someone took something that belonged to you. But by this time tomorrow, something could dictate your attitude and cause you to be angry. I heard Rob Parsley say it like this: we're called to be a thermostat rather than a thermometer, because a thermostat sets the atmosphere, while a thermometer, everything sets it. And that's what we got to do. We got to stand out from the crowd. Are you with me, guys? Okay, number three, chameleons have the most distinctive eyes of any reptile, which is kind of crazy, because their eyes, with the left eye, they could look forward straight ahead of them, and with the right eye, they can see behind them. So it's just like, it's crazy, like, you know, they can get this left eye going straight, and then back here, this eye could be turning like this, looking back this way, and they could see a whole 360 degrees, they can see everything around them. And it's just like, whoa, this is nuts. Well, how does that relate to chameleon Christians? Because a lot of times if you're a chameleon, you know, your vision is not set just primarily on God, what God wants to do for your life. Your vision is set on everything around you. What's everybody else doing? Will my vision line up with their vision? Or, you know, what am I going to do after this ball game? Or what am I going to do at this party? Or this kind of thing, this, that, and the other. And listen, this is something I want to show you guys too about tonight in this Duck Commander Youth Service, is because we can have fun without doing that stuff. We can have an enjoyable time of fun and fellowship without going out here and drinking. Or, you know, I get so tore up when I hear about kids dying because they were drinking and driving and getting buried in the graveyard. You know what I'm saying? And them 16 years old or 18 years old, 20 years old. Because I don't believe that's God's intentions. I don't believe that's God's will for someone's life to die. But I believe we can cut our days short by playing around with things we shouldn't be playing around with. But you know, in just a moment, God can change your life. We need God to change us rather than try to change with whatever environment surrounds us. We need to let God change us. Amen. So let's get to the next fact here. While, and this is something also very interesting, while chameleon's tongue is typically thought to be 1.5 to 2 times the length of their body, it has been discovered that smaller chameleons even have larger tongues. So it's just like their tongues are so long. And that's what chameleon Christians do, is because they got long tongues. And you see, because it's easy to, when you're trying to blend in and try to protect yourself from what everybody else thinks or does. Somebody starts talking about God or talking about Jesus and they make fun of your God and you're sitting there, man, I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get made fun of. I don't want to get tore down this way, you know. So I'm going to just drift back and let them say whatever they want to say. I'm not going to stand up for God. Listen, we need to stand up for God now more than ever before. We really do. We got to be bold about this thing. But that's a lot of times what people do. They'll sit back and instead of defending God, they'll join the crowd. They'll join what everybody else is doing and start speaking negative things. And listen, we got to be careful with our tongue, because a lot of times we can complain, we can gossip, we can curse or something like that with our tongue. But we need to speak the blessings of God. We need to speak in defense of God when those things come. Amen. And another fact is that chameleons are highly adapted in their movement of trees, so their feet will grip to whatever, you know, they're on, whether it's a branch, a rock, or whatever. They'll try to grip as tight to it as they can, you know, whatever they're around. If you're around drugs, you'll grip as tight to it when you're around it. But when you got Bible preaching truth, you know, you're gripped hard to it, and it's just like whatever you're surrounding, that's what you're trying to blend in with, and that's what you're trying to grip to. That's a chameleon Christian. And finally, chameleons cannot hear too good. They have the ability to hear, but it's almost like they refuse to hear. They rely more on what they can see rather than what they hear. Amen. The Bible says this, I believe it's in Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want our faith to grow, we gotta be open our ears and listen to what God has to say to us, because He loves us. He desires to speak His truth to us. Amen. But see, that's what you got here as a nation of Israel. They were like a bunch of chameleon Christians, wanted to be like every other nation that's surrounding them. They didn't want to stand out. They wanted to blend in. And that's the difference. Amen. That is the difference. So let's go on through the story here, because they're like, Samuel prays to God, okay, what do you want to do about this? He said, well, tomorrow I'm going to show you who is to be king. So they go, and that next day, Saul wakes up, and his father's name was Kish. The Bible says he was a mighty man of power. He was huge. He was strong. He was like Superman, you know. He was just huge. And so he birthed Saul, and Saul was also big and huge. He was taller, head and shoulders taller than anybody else in the entire nation of Israel. Out of millions of people, he was the tallest, the broadest, the strongest. And so you got Kish here, and he's going and saying, you know, because he lost his animals, he lost his donkeys. And so he tells Saul, and Kish tells his servant, he said, listen, guys, I've lost my donkeys. They've gone away. I don't know where they're going, but they are gone. They are out of the picture, and we need to find them. So they went that whole day. They spent the whole day trying to find these lost donkeys. My dad always said that when Jesus comes back, he's not going to be coming back on a horse with Jesus, but he's going to be riding a donkey named Turbo. So he said he's got a donkey. But anyway, so he lost all these turbos. They were all gone. And like, what are we going to do about this? So they went searching. They were searched through every valley. They searched on every mountaintop. They went everywhere they could and couldn't find their donkeys. They could find everybody else's cow, everybody else's donkey or camel or whatever, but they couldn't find Kish's. And finally they said, you know what? We have searched all day. Let's go to Samuel. They said he's a seer, meaning he's a prophet. It means he can read us like a book. He can tell us where everything is. He's got this supernatural gift. Let's go find him. And that day before, God had told Samuel, when you see him tomorrow, I'll tell you, but you'll see him tomorrow. I'll tell him. He'll bring it your way. So here Saul is annoyed as can be. I have looked all day. I have sweat. I have just worn myself out climbing every hill, valley, mountain to try to find a donkey, and I can't find it. I'll go buy him one if I have to. Let me go to the farm. I'll buy him a donkey. I'm satisfied. You know, but anyway, they go and they find Samuel. And Samuel, when he looks his eyes on Saul, he's just like, this is him. This is the man. This is the one that I've chosen to be king. So Samuel tells Saul, let's go, man. Let's go to the hilltop. Let's go to the high place. We're going to offer a sacrifice to God, and we're going to eat a little bit. And so the Bible says that Samuel told Saul, I'm going to tell you everything that is on your heart. everything that is on your mind, every plan and gift, I want to tell you everything about you. And they sat down and they began to talk and they began to commune and began to discuss these things. And of course, when he said that you're going to be king, this was Saul's response. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then you speak such things to me? So it's just like, okay, Samuel, you call yourself a prophet, but don't you understand? We're from the worst tribe. We're from the tribe of Benjamin. We're like the worst tribe. We're the tribe of rednecks. You know, we are the redneck. Hilarious. You are fooling yourself. So he goes and this goes back and forth. And finally, Samuel just told him, he said, I'm going to show you the word of God. And that's what he said in the last verse of 1 Samuel 9. I want to show you the word of God. I want to show everything. I'm going to break everything down piece by piece to you. And finally, he took a bottle of oil and just poured it all over his head and anointed him. I've always been worried that someone would do that to me. I've always been worried because I'm like, listen, just put a little dab on your finger and put it on my head and I'll be okay. I'll get the picture. You don't have to take a whole bottle. Well, I'm not a turkey. I'm not some going in the oven, you know what I'm saying? Just put a little dab, but you know, I ain't what Saul got. Take the whole thing and just pour right all over him. Just smothered him in oil, you know, and of course he began to pray over him and things like that. And then Samuel begins to tell Saul, I want to give you some signs because I want to show you and prove to you that you're to be the king over the land. And it's what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10 and 2. He said, when you are departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and will say unto them, or they say unto you, the donkeys which you have went to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the donkeys and sorrows for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? So now we got to the place where Kish was more worried about Saul than he was his donkeys, because now they had been found. And he said, two men's going to meet you at Rachel's tomb to tell you what's going on. Verse 3, then you shall go on forward from thence, and you shall come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thou three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive of their hands. There's spiritual significance to it. I'm about to break it down here in just a minute. And after that, you shall come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when you come thither to the city, that you shall meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Wow. He said, you're going to start prophesying to people. You're going to be a whole new person. He's going to have a Holy Ghost makeover. Amen. And let it be when these signs are coming to you that you do as occasion serve you, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shall you tarry till I come to you and show you what you shall do. So here we go right here. This is what happens. If you give me about 15 minutes, I'll go ahead and wind this thing down. I'm not going to hold you too long. First of all, here we got here. You've got Saul. God tells him through Samuel, you're going to go to Rachel's tomb. You're going to meet two men, and he's going to give you this word in Revelation. Number one, he says, die to yourself at the grave. He said, die to your flesh, die to yourself, die to that old carnal nature, that desire for these drugs, these sins, these temptations. He said, die to it. Die to it. And then he goes a little further and he meets some prophets that are going to give him some bread and things of that nature for nourishment. So number two, he said, when you give up that old way of life, he said, I'm going to feed you my word. I want to give you something that will change your life forever. And then he said, then I want to move in such a way that when I come through the prophets to you again and meet you there, I believe it was at Gilgal, I believe. He said, when I meet you, he said, you're going to prophesy just like they prophesy. I'm going to change you into a new person. See, a lot of people think that before they come to church, they've got to change everything about them. But you come as you are to God and he changes you for you. Amen. He changes you. Come as you are. I don't care how, what you're dealing with, what you're carrying, or who you are today. Come as you are to Jesus, and He'll change your life forever. I've seen people, man, get saved, get delivered from homosexuality, from drugs, from alcoholism. I've got friends here witness these things. I've been in some situations where people say, well, I've been in this shape his entire life. She'd been a heroin addict for 13 years. And in one moment, praying to God, God comes down and makes them a new person. Because that's what God does. He is a creator. He takes things and He makes something out of nothing. You know, by ourselves, we're nothing. But with God, when God is with us, we've got everything that we need. Amen. So he goes and doesn't begin to prophesy, and the people begin to talk. Said, is this not Kish's son? This is the redneck bunch. They over here prophesying to people. What's going on? Who's his father? That's what they asked. Because they had a school of prophets. And if you had a school of prophets in that day, they had a father of prophets. In this case, it was Samuel. They're like, well, when did Samuel become his dad? When did Samuel anoint him to join this group of people to prophesy over these people? What's going on here? It's like something has taken place. Amen. And verse 14 of this chapter says, and Saul's uncle said unto him, whither went you? And he said, to seek the donkeys. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, I pray you, what Samuel said to you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys were found, but the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. So it's just like Saul, he was bold. He was, I mean, as far as a strong person, but he was still humble and shy. He was like, man, I don't know about this. He prophesied to me. All these things he said would come to pass did, but I don't know about this, man. I don't know about this whole king stuff. And he didn't even tell his uncle Abner. He didn't tell his uncle Si, listen, man, you know, hey, I'm going. He said, that's a fact, Jack. You know what I'm saying? It's a fact, Jack. I'm going to be king of Israel. No, it wasn't like that. It was more like, well, he said he found the donkeys. Everything's good. And this is what the Bible says. Samuel said, you know what? We're going to get all the people together for an assembly, and we're going to promote and announce this new king. So he goes to announce the king. And they're like, we're here to call the tribes forth. And the lot failed. They cast lots. It came on Benjamin. So the tribe of Benjamin came up, and they tried to look around and say, man, is this guy it? No. Is this family it? No. And then they finally come to the family of Kish, and Samuel knows who's to be king. He was just going through the whole process. And he said, okay, where's Saul at? And nobody could find Saul. Where's he at? I mean, he was just prophesying yesterday. Where did he go? You know, he said, well, he's hid among some stuff. I believe he's sitting over there, bending down on the ground, saying, Lord Jesus, I hope they don't find me. Sitting over here blending in with the stuff. Man, I hope they don't find me. I mean, he's big as all get out. Like, he is 7 feet tall, and he's trying to hide among some stuff. You know, man, I hope he don't find me, man. I really don't. I know he's the prophet, but my goodness, I hope he don't find me today. I don't feel like becoming king. I don't want to do this stuff. You know. Yeah, I believe when they asked him and said, are you going to be king? Nah. 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 That ain't for me, Jack. But you know, he was commissioned to be king, whether he liked it or he not. You know what, liked it or not. You know what that word stuff there means? It literally means baggage if you translate it. He went to hide among some baggage, which is what the children of Israel took, you know, on their journey, encampment. It was all their bags, all their luggage, all that type of stuff. That's where he hid. But God told Samuel, he's hid among the baggage. That's where he's at. And when he went to go find this camouflaged Christian, he went to pull him out and say, hey, man, you're anointed to be king. And when he presented him to the people, the people shouted and said, God save the king. They rejoiced. They were happy. They were excited. They just got a king. But see, this is what camouflage Christians do. They try to blend in just like a chameleon with everything that surrounds them. How many of y'all been hunting in this place? Anybody at all? You know who got me into hunting? My wife. I'm serious. My wife guts her own deer. You know, she is bad to the bone. You know what I'm saying? Now, see, how many seen that episode of Duck Dynasty where Jason Willie took the two wives on the hunting trip? Anybody see that episode? In case you didn't see that episode, because some of you didn't see it, let me tell you what happened. They decided to take the city girls on a hunting trip. And you know what happened? They came in there to take them on the trip, and Jace's wife had perfume on. He said, "What is that smell?" She said, "Well, that's perfume." He said, "No, he guts a bunch of mud and wipes it all over. You gotta, because if you're in the world, you've got to smell like the world." Hallelujah. You gotta fit in, you know. But then Willie's wife said, "Okay." Corey's like, "Okay, I've gotta get with this too." And she took some stuff that Willie had and sprayed it all over. She's like, "What is this smell?" "That is deer urine scent. That's supposed to go on the decoy." And she sprayed it all over her. And so they finally get to the blind, and they're over there talking and chatting it up and all this stuff, because the women are bored out of their mind. The men are still trying to hunt, and they're sitting there talking, complaining, you know, and all this stuff. And of course, they never did get anything. But that's what camouflaged Christians want to do. Number one, they want to blend in. They want to look and smell like the world. They want to get you to look and smell like the world. This is what Jesus said in John 17. The Bible says, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "You're not of the world as I'm not of the world." In other words, you're in this world, but you're not of it. And see, that's what a lot of camouflaged Christians try to do. They try to be in the world and of the world at the same time. But he said, "I've called you to stand out." Because it was when Saul was encouraged to leave all the stuff, to leave the baggage and everything, when he made the decision to leave all of that stuff, that is when God positioned him to be king. And see, what you got to understand is the moment that you make the choice to leave that camouflage behind, the spiritual camo and all that environment behind, and say, "God, I'm going to just be who you've called me to be," then God will do a new work in your life. He'll do a new work. He'll take you and make you a king. He'll do something so great in your life, it'll blow your mind. Number two, camouflage Christians, they try to hide so they can shoot at other people. And that's eventually where Saul got to that place. Saul got to the place where, you know, he was humble at first, even when the sons of Belial, I'm over here rubbing my face because I still have this gray beard and all this stuff all over my face. So if I'm over here doing this or picking my nose or something, you'll know what I'm doing, okay? But anyway, so they go and he's anointed king, and the Bible says the sons of Belial in humility, but eventually pride got a hold of him. And he rebelled against God, deliberately disobeyed God, and God removed him from his position as king, because that was something God ordained. That was something God ordained. And so he would go, and then the Bible says God would speak to Samuel and say, "Samuel, we got to anoint you another king. Go take the sons of Jesse." He even feared for his life. If Saul hears that I'm doing this, he's going to kill me. He said, "No, go do what I've told you to do." So he takes the sons of Jesse and presents them unto the sons of Jesse, met with Samuel, and they went to go see who was going to be the next one in line for king. And this is what's so awesome. This is in 1 Samuel 16. He goes to the oldest son. There's like six or seven sons, I think. But Eliab is the oldest son, and he goes before Samuel. And Samuel sees him. He's a warrior. He's a soldier in Saul's army. He is a mighty man of valor. He's strong. He's big. He said, "Man, he's just like Saul. Surely he's king. He's got the right physique. His shoulders are tall. He's huge. This has got to be the man." And this is what God said to him: "Look not at the appearance." He said, "Man looks at the appearance, but I look at the heart." That was what was so amazing, because back in the first time as king, it was like, "Oh, he's strong. He's got all this going for him." But this next time around, it wasn't like it. He took all the sons of Jesse, went up to them one by one. None of them was to be king. God, Samuel's question, like, how in the world could God tell me to do this and none of them be kings? Finally asked Jesse, "Is there any more sons?" He said, "Yeah, I've got one more back in the field. He's got sheep poop all in between his toes. He stinks. He is short. He is ruddy. He's not good at anything. He can't do anything. He is just out there tending the sheep. You don't want him." He said, "Well, go get him." And so he goes and gets David, and David comes before him, and God speaks to Samuel and says, "That is the man for the job." Because you might come in here and say, "Man, I don't know about all this. I don't know about all this Christian stuff." And you want to try to blend in with everything that surrounds you. But God is calling you out of those things to make you a new creation in his sight. here tonight. And some people say, well, Christianity's boring. Christianity's not fun. Are you kidding me? I've been in this my entire life. I love Jesus. And listen, I played college ball and all that stuff, played college basketball. I did all those things, man. It was fun. But I didn't go join the clubs and the gangs. We brought them to church. We took them and showed them who God was. And several of them are now ministering the gospel. Amen. Because it does not matter what background you come from, God can call you out and change your life forever. And that's what I wanted to teach. And finally, this last point I want to make. If you're hiding in the stuff, amen. If you're hiding the baggage of your past, you're hiding that thing. It indicates spiritual immaturity because you just want to try to fit in and blend in with everything that surrounds you. Don't try to blend in with everything that surrounds you. You're going to have friends. Birds of a feather flock together. You're going to have friends. I mean, you know, whether you're in the world or you're in the church or whatever you're doing, you're going to have friends. Amen. But what makes the difference is, do you have God in your heart? Because He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's a true friend here today. So I want to ask you today, who are chameleon Christians or who are camouflage Christians in this place today? I want to ask some of them if they would come, which no one has to sing. If they ain't got a song ready, you could just play softly on the keyboard or something. But I want to ask you something today. How many feel like Saul or feel like the nation of Israel? That, man, I'm tired of this. I just want to blend in. I just want to do what everyone thinks is popular. I heard that saying, what's popular is not always right, and what's right is not always popular. It's true, guys. It may not be acceptable publicly, but as long as God accepts you, that's all that matters. Some of you could have come in here tonight miserable, broken, hurting. You don't understand things, but God can take you, heal your broken heart, and set you free here today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to give a couple opportunities. Some of you guys in here tonight, you may have never been to church before, may have been to church a handful of times. You don't understand this. You don't know what's going on. Why am I even doing here? Someone asked me because they were talking about Duck Dynasty and I loved the show, so I came because I thought it was going to be cool. And I come, and what is this about? It's all about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He wasn't just a prophet or a good moral teacher. He's the Son of God. He came fully God to earth to die for your sins. Because used to, people would sacrifice rams, lambs, and goats all up and down the tabernacles. But they don't do that no more since Jesus came. Because God said, you know what, I tried to do everything I could to find redemption for man and couldn't find it. So I want to send my Son. And He came in the form of human flesh, just like you and me. And He died so we could have new life in Him. Listen, your hope's not in drugs. I held a revival last year, guys, and over in Cincinnati, Ohio. A lot of guys was your all's age. It's up in Cincinnati, small little country church. We had one boy come up, prayed at the altar, gave his heart to God, went straight to the bathroom, Curtis, took the weed out of his pocket, had it right on him in church, and flushed it down the toilet and said, I'm not doing this no more. That's what God wants to do. God will wreck you. He'll change your life. Come as you are. Some of you may have some stuff in your pockets. Some of you may have some stuff in your bedroom that you don't want anybody to know. It's like, man, if anyone in here knew what I had in my pocket or in my car or in my home, people in here would look down on me. Listen, I'm not going to look down on you, man. Absolutely not. I've got a friend up in Columbus that was, and I had to help him, man, and I'm still helping him. But he came from a rough life. He's got 3 children by 3 different women, and I've had to help him, nurture him in the Lord, day by day, year by year. And now he's on his way to a professional boxing career, but I'm kind of helping him. I'm kind of mentoring him. And I've mentored him since I've been one of his roommates in Bible college, and I've had to help him. There were nights he didn't know what he was going to do next. But I'd have to help pray him through those things. I'm not going to judge somebody because you fall. I'm not going to judge somebody because of your past. I mean, God is the judge, but He loves you. He loves you so much that He came to die for your sins, that if you would believe on Him and confess that He's God over your life, you can find salvation in Him. You can find that joy that you can't find out in this world. Brother Brandon, he was in a gang. He did all that stuff. He'd been shot at. He's from Houston, Texas, so he knows that life. I'm not acquainted with that, but a lot of people that I'm acquainted with came from that life. And you say, how could God take me, a little country boy from the mountains, and throw me up in the cornfields of Ohio and meet people all across the country that were drug dealers and gang members, find Jesus, and now preaching the gospel? When you meet Jesus, He changes your life. He gives you a new start. He did like He did Saul here. He said, I'll make you a new man. God will make you a new woman. He'll make you a new man. Come as you are to Him. It'll change your life forever. Let's stand across this building. I want to give you an altar call here and give you a chance to pray, because this is the most important part. We want to have games. We want to hang out. We want to have fun. We want to have a great time here in just a little bit. But this is the most important part of service. I want to give several altar calls for certain situations. But I want every head to bow, every eye to close. I don't want looking around. I don't want no one judging. I don't want trying to drag somebody up here. I don't want none of that stuff. Because you got to look at your life. Can you look at your life with you? Just close your eyes and just think, am I happy where I'm going? Am I happy with the direction I'm heading? Am I happy with my life? Am I happy, happy, happy? Am I happy? Do I have the joy that I need in the Lord? Am I where I need to be? He can give you joy here in this place. He can change your life forever. So I just want to ask you, because this is what the Word says. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised His Son from the dead, He said, you will be saved. When you believe that He came and He died and He resurrected, because the tomb is empty, He has risen. He has risen. And if you believe and confess and stand on that, He can save you and change your life. It's just like a supernatural change. It's like you come out of the camel and you become who you really are called to be, who God really created you to be. So I want to ask, first of all, again, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to first ask, is there someone in this room today that is not saved and you want to know what it means to be saved? You might not understand what it means to live for God, live by the Bible, or be a Christian, but today you want to start that journey. Today you want to start that journey. Would you just lift your hand to heaven before God and say, I want to start that journey with God today? Anybody in this place? You could say, I don't want to fight it any longer. I want to try Jesus. Maybe there's someone in this room today that says, I feel like one of those chameleon Christians or those camouflaged Christians, and you're ready to lay that spiritual camo down or that chameleon life down and say, God, I'm ready to stand out for You and be who You call me to be. Would you raise your hand to heaven? Would you raise your hand to heaven and be honest? Thank You, Lord, for the honesty in this place. That's what I'm going to do. As He continues to play, would you step out of your pew? Would you make your way to this altar? And let's talk to God. Let's seek God about getting stronger and bolder for Him. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. This altar's open for you. Come on. I believe there's many that need to pray or curious to know more about God. Would you come? He loves you. He loves you. Come.